It's a documentary on Netflix about Vince McMahon and wrestling. Rich Lenkoff, do you know much about this story? Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I don't follow. Is it WWE that Vince McMahon was or is?
Yeah, he was the founder of it and has been the leader of it for many years until he stepped down a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right. So what's the documentary about them?
Well, the documentary called Mr. McMahon is about his, you know, beginnings and the rise of his tenure and also the rise of the WWE. But legally, it's relevant because there's a sexual assault lawsuit by one of his former employees who's alleging that for many years he victimized her, subjected her to sexual harassment, and made her engage in sexual acts, not just with him, but with other employees, including on the premises. Frequently, as you know, with these kind of documentaries, we've seen that with R. Kelly and many others, Michael Jackson, they are accompanied by allegations of some kind of sexual abuse. It's not really dealt with in the documentary so much, but it's going on concurrently with this lawsuit.
So he's suing Netflix?
No. Well, actually, so that's a separate issue. Vince McMahon was negotiating, allegedly, with Netflix through his attorneys to avoid the series being aired, even though he cooperated with it and sat for many hours of interviews.
Yeah.
He is now saying that it doesn't represent him fairly, that it mistakes the character that he was portraying with his real person. Obviously, he lost that negotiation because it's being aired, but separately, there's the sexual harassment lawsuit by this female employee against Vince McMahon that's been going on for several years, a woman named Miss Grant is her name, Janelle Grant.
Yeah. Well, so I wonder what to make of that. I mean, anymore, I don't know what the inclination was of people when these sorts of cases popped up to believe or disbelieve the accuser. I think these days the needle is, yeah, the lady's probably got a point here, even if it's been a while before they reveal that or charge the person. That does not seem to be uncommon, does it?
Correct. And I think from a legal perspective, listen, if this case ever goes to a jury trial, which probably won't, given most of these cases, especially with high-profile defendants like Vince McMahon, they get settled. But if it does go to a jury, the fact that this is a very high-profile documentary showing him in a very bad light, you know, might influence some jurors down the road if they watch it.
What do you make of that, though? Do you think that there is the opportunity, I can see, in that culture then for people to... Maybe they were just an unhappy employee. Maybe it's a complete fiction. In that instance, I can see how it might be opportune for some people to take advantage of the current environment. I guess all of that to say that we shouldn't be so quick to snap judge these people for being guilty of the charges against them.
Well, sure, right? I mean, as an attorney, I believe in the idea that everyone gets due process, everyone gets their day in court, and, you know, you have to prove, not just allege, evidence before a trier of fact. That being said, you know, we do have to give credence to allegations. We're all aware of, the fact that victims of abuse and sexual abuse, it's very difficult for them to come forward and tell their stories, and it takes sometimes a long time to do so. So I think you have to balance both of those, but I agree with you. You can't just jump to a conclusion and convict Vince McMahon simply because there's allegations.
Well, I didn't know about this documentary. Now I want to watch it. So if he's unhappy about that, maybe he shouldn't have made the fuss. That's
right.
Separate from the suit against him. That was perhaps going to happen anyway. But he's suggesting that the portrayal of him is inaccurate because that was a character he was playing, and that's not really him, right?
Correct. He's released a statement saying that the documentary unfortunately conflates his character with his person, and they were trying to take advantage of this lawsuit to portray him in a way that's not accurate. I haven't seen the documentary yet. I plan to watch it, but I've heard from the producers, and they, of course, take the position that they're showing all sides of the story and not just the positive side just because Mr. McMahon cooperated with them.
Well, and maybe it doesn't even matter to the casual viewer, somebody like me perhaps. That is, that was your persona. You created it. And if you don't like the association, then you shouldn't have created that persona. They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, and this is not the first allegation. There was many allegations against him that resulted in him stepping down. There's a, I believe, a federal investigation into his business dealings. So you're right. I don't think, you know, a layperson is going to necessarily understand that, oh, that's just the way he's being portrayed, or he's portraying himself as a wrestling heel, and that's not really him. I mean, you know, if that's the way he's acting out in public and before the cameras, then perhaps that's the way he is.
Yeah, well, even if it's not, what's the difference? If half of your life is led leaving a persona or a character, then that's half of your life. I know that his family says that that's not really the way he is, and they aren't happy with the editing or the producing of it. Anybody who's heard from anybody that was on any kind of reality show ought to know that once you sign up with the producers of anything, it's in their hands. Ask the people that were on Survivor and were portrayed as the bad guy when they're really not a bad person, but they needed that trope in their show so they can almost create it with the editing. You can't claim foul now. You signed up.
100% agree. You know what you're getting into, and if you don't want to be portrayed that way, then don't give up your right, you know, the rights to the producers.
I know you just stepped out of a courtroom, but can you just give me 60 seconds on this Eric Adams thing? What are you thinking or hearing about that, Rich?
We saw him in court this morning for the arraignment, right? I mean, I think that he's in real trouble. I think the most difficult position, I think, legally from my perspective, is that there's some strong evidence that he tried to cover this stuff up. I read an in-depth detail of the indictment this morning. I also read the indictment, and you know, there's lots of language in there, admittedly from staffers, but also from Eric Adams himself, in which they discuss covering up evidence, you know, deleting text, not putting things in writing. So I think he's in trouble. I think the argument that he was doing all of this for the benefits of his constituents is hard to understand when he's staying in luxury suites, when he's taking first class, you know, airplanes everywhere. So, yeah, I think there's some real exposure for him. And I think the idea that this is all a political witch hunt is really tough when you consider this is a Democratic administration going after a Democratic mayor of New York. So I think that's tough, even though the allegation is that they're doing this as retribution for Eric Adams fighting with Biden administration over lack of migrant funds.
Yeah, right. That sounded positively Trumpian to me when I heard that. He's saying, this is the administration going after me. And I go, no, that's your own side. These are your people. And I know that the mayors of major cities were unhappy with how the Biden administration was handling that. But you want me to believe now that Joe Biden told the Justice Department to go after the mayor of New York City? I'm not buying that. And where it really got thin for me was when they said, all right, give us your phone. We want to see your records. They confiscate his phone. They go, okay, we need to unlock it. What's the passcode? He goes, can't remember.
You know you're in trouble when you say you can't remember to the feds. Second thing is, here's the telltale sign you know someone's lying in public office, when they start using we instead of I. Have you noticed this trend? It's always when someone is under the lights and they're explaining after they've been arrested or indicted, they say, we were not acting that way. The guy in North Carolina, Lieutenant Governor Robinson, he said the same thing. He said, we're not going to apologize. You know you're in trouble when you're now a we instead of an I.
That is an interesting observation. Rich Lankoff is the attorney, the capital member of Downey and Lankoff, and the co-host of our Legal Face-Off podcast. Nice to hear your voice.
10 years and running, John. 10 years.
What? Your business?
Our anniversary for the podcast, America's longest-running legal podcast show, and we owe a lot to you and all your generosity in having us on over the years. We appreciate it. You got to come back for a 10-year anniversary show.
I'd be happy to. Rich Lankoff, Legal Face-Off. Okay, Rich, well done. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.